Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
Welcome to Owner podcast. I'm Jesse Tyler, your host. Glad to have you listening. I've worked at Hypertherm Associates, a 100% employee-owned company for the last 16 and a half years. I'm very passionate about the voices of ownership. And this podcast, the Owner to Owner podcast, the goal is really to have discussions about a wide range of ownership experience and culture topics. So this is not a great source for the technical. There's lots of technical out there. I just find it endlessly fascinating to hear the stories and voices from the daily work of employee owners, what that experience is. We like to have a wide range of voices, and that leads us today with ProSearch. We have Tim, Sarah, and Dave, and we're going to get this conversation and learn a little bit about ProSearch and what they do, and then the voices of each of these employee owners. So Tim, if you could start us off a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us today, Jesse. My name is Tim Hoey. I am a senior recruiter at ProSearch. I work on the IT consulting team, so we handle primarily contract and contract to hire positions. We focus on Maine, but we do have a national reach. I've been with the company for about 5.5 years, and I am 100% vested.
Awesome. 100%. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful number. Thank you it for is. That. Welcome aboard. I appreciate you making the time. I know ProSearch is very busy, which is a very good problem to have. Sarah, a little bit about yourself, please.
Yes. Hi. Thank you. I'm Sarah Davies. I manage the IT direct hire recruiting for ProSearch. I've been with ProSearch for 19 years and have really enjoyed making the leap from IT contract services over to direct hire and digging deeper into a client services.
Very nice. Thanks. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Dave, welcome. A little bit about yourself, please.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. Dave Vasconcelles. My title is Director of Client Success. Realistically, I am heavily involved with business development and ensuring that all our clients were meeting their expectations. I've been with ProSearch. This is year 15, 100% vested. And, you know, just a little bit more about ProSearch, since Tim and Sarah are both on the IT side of the house, we also do a lot of recruiting that is non-technical, and then your traditional temporary staffing as well. So pretty unique for what would be considered a smallish boutique recruiting firm, that we do all of those three things with three separate teams.
That's great. And so then a little bit more about ProSearch, sort of, you know, how old is the company and how many employee owners, if you can share that?
Sure. We're going to hit year 30 next year. Founded by Ed McCursey, our president and co-owner now. And we transitioned to an ESOP, I think, 5 years ago now. Still learning about, I think we're still learning a lot about what it means to be an ESOP 5 years in. So that's really exciting for us. But the culture that we've always had of family first, accountability, do what's right, just easily transitioned us over to an ESOP, I think, when Ed was exploring different options. So
that's great. I believe a key part of the recipe for a successful ESOP, what are your founding values? And are those evolving? Are you staying true to the roots and evolving those? Do people see them? Do people hear them? They can feel safe and do their best work. And so it sounds already hearing that in your description, which is fantastic.
Yeah, just on the second part, and then I'll let Sarah and Tim go. With regard to the number of vested employees, we're very unique in that we have the core corporate team. Corporate is even a little bit of a big word for us. So, but there are 16 of us as ProSearch employees. But then what's interesting being a staffing firm is that any W-2 long-term temporary employee or contractor that we have has an ability to be part of the ESOP. So when they meet the 3 year 100% vested, our employees, who aren't directly with us, but they are our product, so to speak, are also able to take part in the ESOP, which is super exciting. Again, it's a battle to make them wholly understand it, I would say.
Yes.
But those who do, they're going to do, we have 4 or 5 individuals who 5 years in are already going to have a nice account built up.
Yeah, that's great. It's neat to hear that you have that model and that approach. For us as a we're a large manufacturer, 2,000 global owners. We have about around 300 overseas. We even have a share program, global stock value program, that extends to them on an equal share basis. We were one of the first. We're still one of the only. But to get back to the temporary workers, for us, it's just a really big celebration when a temporary associate becomes a full-time long-term. And what's great is their start date for their participation in the DSAP plan starts from their first day as a temp, and then mm-hmm. rolls up from there. But you have taken that farther down the field. That is awesome.
Because they're not working with us. Right. I mean, they're placed at one of our clients.
Very interesting already, and I haven't even gotten to a question. That's awesome. That's what's fun about the conversation. So what we're really going for is four of us meet at a ESOP Association or an NCO conference. We're talking between the sessions. As great as the sessions by both big groups can be, a lot of magic happens at the table. And that's what we're really going for today, is just thoughts, stories, and insights. So I want to start off with Tim. I asked these questions in intentional order, kind of building towards an understanding. So there's some similar questions in the beginning. And then for Sarah and Dave, if you want to answer that question, great. If you want to let the next one go, you can shake it off and we'll go. You don't have to answer every question. Again, just an informal conversation, just a little bit of guiding at first so that you're at ease. For Tim, how do you talk about ownership when you're out in the world and not around employee owners?
That's a good question, Jesse. One of the things that when I try to describe it to people who may not be familiar with the concept or, you know, describing it for the first time, is it really gives you a sense of responsibility and pride in ownership. That's one of the things that I think, you know, you're able to directly contribute to the company's success, and you get to see it year over year on the company's trajectory, which is really, really neat for us.
That's great. And what are some of the reactions if you've, you know, I overheard you at a grocery store and somebody said, what's the deal with ProSearch? I heard you're owned by the people that actually work there. Like when you give that kind of a description, what do you get for, do you get a blank stare? Do you get questions?
Like, usually people have some questions because it's not an everyday answer, right? So I've gotten questions like, well, how does that work? What does that look like? And usually I tell people that it's a really good wealth building tool over long term. And it's really great for us internally. I know we talked a little bit about how our contractors become potential owners. And it's, you know, in my world, in the IT consulting world, it's a huge sell for us because a lot of these contractors that we're talking to don't even get PTO or benefits. So being able to tell them that they have a potential stake in ownership in our company is really cool. And it helps separate us from other agencies.
Yeah, that's great. And we'll get into that a little bit farther into the conversation about what being employee owned yourselves gives as an advantage as a leading recruiting firm. So I appreciate it. I'm smiling for listeners. I'm smiling back at Tim because I'm the idea with the grocery store and a new voice, somebody curious about ownership. I'm not completely convinced as somebody who does an onboarding intensive for between 150 and 200 new hires a year, we're a little bit bigger than you guys are, manufacturer. I'm not sure people really get it. So I'm not sure that the reaction in the grocery store is much different than the reaction in the first 30 days, if that helps at all for perspective. But I got nods, unanimous from all of you. So Sarah, what are your thoughts with this?
I was just going to build upon Tim. I think ProSearch is unique in the fact that now we're able to, and this is, I don't know the right way to describe it, but you know, we're putting pencil to paper. You know, we've always been small. I've always believed in what I do as an individual directly affects Tim's business, directly affects Dave's business and everybody else's business. And now as an ESOM, it's just solidifying it. And so, you know, and when you go and think about some of Tim's contractors, I would hedge to bet that we are an exception to the rule in that we have contractors that have been out on billing for 5, 6, 7, 8. I don't know, Tim, have we reached 10 years with somebody yet?
I think we're close.
Long term. And that is unique in IT contract services. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's great. I think the average job tenure is like 4.2 years. So exactly. Excluding the advantages of ownership. So yeah, it's fascinating with you with the contractors. I have not heard of that. Years of talking about ownership. Really interesting. I appreciate you sharing it. Dave, you want to back clean up? What are your thoughts? You're talking to ownership, somebody about ownership that's not an employee owner. You got a clean slate.
I think Tim and Sarah kind of nailed it perfectly. You aren't just an employee anymore. I don't think we ever thought of, I mean, we're unique that I don't think with our culture, we ever thought we were just employees, but it's a new sense, a greater sense of accountability to each other, trust in each other, and really understanding and trying to understand the finances of the business. And we've always, I think, at our owners, always been very transparent, but we've taken it to the next level as an ESOP. Yeah. And really understand, as Sarah was saying, her work is not only her direct work, it's how does it affect our client who's working with us on another side of the business versus another side of the business. And it's important. And all those little things add up to the whole. But it's interesting that when you said, I think they're trying to figure it out 3 to 5 years in, I think we're still trying to figure it out, quite frankly, and understand. Yeah. Because it's easy, yet it's crazy complex at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have another potential guest who wants to hold off maybe till season 4, and they've been in ESOP less than a year. And I'm like, but that's magical for you to share that mm-hmm. journey, because the main goal is that of this podcast is that somebody considering selling their company, even considering selling it to their employees, will hear, I'm not sure the best way to say this, they're their own workers in your voices and say, that mm-hmm. Sarah reminds me of so-and-so, and Tim and Dave remind me of so-and-so. Wait a minute, we can do this, that idea. So I find that with respecting all tenures, you know, I had a guest, I think the most longest tenure on an owner-to-owner podcast guest was from Web Industries with 29 years, which is not unheard of in mature ESOPs, unusual from the regular working world.
That's a long time.
Valuable insights. But I think that there's a chance with employee ownership to give a brand new employee owner the same size seat at the table and see what mixing the two of them can become. And I think it's so hard for people the first few years to get their hands around it. It's really fun to have companies. So you're relatively young in your journey, but man, there's some new ESOPs that would really love your wisdom at 5 years. So it all depends on how you look at tenure and company age.
I kind of think of it as, you know, there's going to be those people that take the ESOP from, you know, from a cultural perspective, and then there's going to be some that take it from the financial perspective. I feel like I'm one of those that take it from the cultural. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the financial piece of it and how all of that works and and to be quite honest with me, it's not my daily, so I don't think about it, and it doesn't as interest me as much as the cultural piece of it and how, as we grow, do we continue to keep what we had when there were only 6 of us.
Yeah, the culture, and I appreciate you talking about it that way, the culture and the financial.
Because I think those are two huge distinctions of an ESOP. You know, those are two big pieces, two halves of the pie that an ESOP brings to an organization.
Yeah, and after talking to thousands of people about it over the years, what I've settled on is it's a retirement plan. The daily experience is the owner experience, the culture. What does it feel like to come to work? Because even if you go, if you're at an ESOP where everyone's committed and you're moving the company forward, you can have a really bad day at work, and at the same time, your wealth has grown. There's a difference. It's the long-term goal, but what does it feel like to go to work? And so if your wealth can grow on a really bad day, and it feels good to go back and see everybody the next day, that's something really special. And certainly with the work that you do with recruiting and trying to help people make giant leaps in their lives to different companies and different towns and different homes, and all of that goes with the larger work that you do to impact communities. It's really neat to, so I think it's great, Sarah, where's that play between the finance and the culture? What does it feel like? What does it add up to? All right, I want to come back and do another round with the other part of the question. So I started Tim off with somebody at the grocery store, and I heard you talking to them. They heard about this ProSearch ownership thing. What's the deal? Now, close that door, open the next door. How do you describe the experience of ownership to your friends and family? Same, different, very quiet golf moderator tone, cheerleader tone, something. Give me something. How do you talk about it?
I guess the best way that I could come up with would be more of like an analogy for me. And I guess it's kind of like a garden, tending to a garden. The more you nurture it, the more you invest in it, the more bountiful your harvest is going to be. And I think that, you know, it gives you a direct hands in the dirt. You see it every day and you get to watch it.
That's great.
I like that.
Wow, green.
Nice. Right,
green,
write that down.
Tim Hoey.
Oh, that's great. The fun for me as a host
is... That'll be our first newsletter, Tim.
Yeah. Well, it's fun for the listeners. It's a lot of fun for me personally, rewarding as a host, is to watch you interact to each other's stories. It's fun to have three guests and have that. So, all right. So you had a big throwdown by Tim, Sarah. Do you want to extend the gardening or take another path?
Well, I'm not going to be as exciting because I don't believe that ESOP has, it has not changed how I have been, what I do differently, what I view ProSearch as a culture, just because now we're an ESOP. I truly believe that ProSearch is ProSearch and was the ProSearch that it was 19 years ago when Ed asked me to join them. So, and that's I think important because it doesn't have to change just because you're an ESOP. I think it's important for employees to realize that those of us who are just as content as we were 19 years ago, it's an exciting piece. But like I said, I think it's for me making sure our culture remains what Ed wanted it and had intended it to be.
That's great. That's great. Dave, what are your thoughts? Friends and family.
Nothing after that. No, I agree with Sarah. The day-to-day doesn't change, or at least for me personally. I mean, it's you're just driven to be well thought of in the business community, to do a good job for our clients. It was very much who we are before. Does this solidify it? Maybe a little, you know, maybe it does. I think it adds a really nice sense of stability. In that, I would say 10 years ago, it was, okay, you know, what's going to happen when our president gets towards retirement, right? You know, he's made this promise that he'd always be around, but what will happen? And as he was exploring this and sharing it, it was a great sense of stability that, oh my goodness, we're not going to be sold out to a much larger firm. And then all the rules change. And I don't think we've quite frankly given enough credence to that internally, that this was a big move, certainly made sense from a business perspective, but that was a big move for all of us that I think has gotten a little bit lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. Maybe it's an opportunity for you as a crew to rekindle that and bring back some storytelling. We're still welcoming very new voices, but bringing, you know, this is our foundation. This is where we could have gone. You know, there's an exercise that Web Industries did at their ownership day. I was honored to be a contributing speaker to their ownership day. And they had this exercise that, you know, where would we be now if we weren't employee owned? It's not exactly a direct quote, but that's caught on to some other NCO was talking about it recently because they heard that at a conference, but I believe it came from Web Industries. And I asked that in the last onboarding a week ago when we do a 2-day onboarding intensive. And it's pretty interesting. Where some of people's prior hard experiences at employers came out a bit, where, you know, we'd be working for the man and some of those other phrases that were clearly loaded with some pain and prior experience. Mm-hmm. And so very interesting to consider, you know, regenerating those stories and just asking. I can actually share the stuff I got from Web with you. So you'd have a running start with an exercise you could do with your folks. Mm-hmm. But the first time running it here at Hypotherm Associates, I was kind of blown away by what some of the responses were. But it led to some great conversations. So Dave, I'm going to start with you. So I've asked about when you're out in the world, when you're with friends and family, starting with you, how do you help new coworkers begin to understand ownership?
I think we're trying to really work on that now. Actually, Sarah, Tim, and I have been chosen to formulate and put together an ESOP communications group or whatnot. So I've gone out to a bunch of other main-based ESOPs and ask them what they're doing from a communication standpoint and how do we better articulate to a new employee or even to our existing employees what it truly means and what it can be. As Tim said before, I think it's really changing it from a talk of a retirement plan to wealth building.
Yeah, that's great.
And because I think that where you are in your career really defines what you think about it from the onset. It's much different for me at about to be 55 than it is someone in their 20s. So I don't know if I answered your question directly, but that's what I think of. I mean, that's really what we're trying to focus on. Again, 5 years in, it's always been a singular conversation down as to this is what it means. I mean, certainly very interactive, but hearing it from one viewpoint as opposed to what does it really mean to Tim? And what does it really mean to Sarah? And let's not assume that's what is important to me is important to them because it won't be the same. So we're just getting going on that. And that's going to be really exciting.
That's great. If it gives you any peace, I'm not sure that anyone's actually figured it out yet. That's part of the fun of ownership is that you try some things and see what sticks. The more you talk to other, employee ownership companies, there's some great advice in some of the past episodes of this podcast where you can get some really great things. And one of the ones that finished last year was engaging the families, helping them get their hands around it so that somebody, your workers go home to understanding. They go home to some excitement and stuff. So I appreciate it.
That's a good point, Jesse, because when we first started this whole ESOP and I tried to explain it to my husband, every other question, my answer was, I don't know. I don't know. He's like, what do you mean you don't know? This is something that's happening to your company. This is something you're... And so I would take these questions back to Ed and say, I don't like saying I don't know. Like, help me, for lack of better words, dumb this down so I can explain it. And he was really great about it. But Dave hit it. I mean, we're still fumbling through it and trying to figure it out.
Yeah, that's great. If it helps, a question you can have because you're smaller and there's fewer families to navigate and you're trying things is, you know, have people potentially who are game do a reflection point is ask their families, since I've been working at ProServe, since I've been an employee owner, how am I different when I come home at night? You know, and sort of a different way of kind of trying to help illustrate the point is there could be a very touchy subject for some of that. Do you work harder because you're an employee owner? And had somebody get really incensed, like, then you're questioning my work ethic and my values. No, I work just as hard. The difference is that I don't go home miserable. The difference is I go home happier. The difference is I sleep better. That's it. And it was a big group discussion. That's a very interesting different way to consider that. Right. So I wish you good steed, and what you learn with engaging your families, please share with us and other ESOPs so we can keep learning from each other. Tim, what are your thoughts?
When it comes to new owners or new employees, one of the things that I think is really important is leading by example and really giving them a voice at the table from the get-go, like you talked about before, Jesse. You know, someone who's been there for 20 years or someone who's been there for 20 days, they have very different perspectives, but at the end of the day, we're all owners. So, you know, giving them a seat at the table, a voice, and, you know, try to share some success stories of how, you know, similar types of discussions have come out on a better note. Give them some winning stories.
That's great. That's great. It does take a little bit for new people coming in to get used to,
right,
in a culture where their life matters. So a number that I keep seeing on LinkedIn, I would love your perspective. I keep seeing that up to 70% of people are leaving companies because of a poor relationship with a leader or misalignment with values. What is that? I mean, you're the aces in the game. Is that seem like a reasonable number? I trust, yeah, LinkedIn, but I just want to get a sense. And so I've used that with onboarding. I say, okay, so if I have 15, I had 19 people in a 2-day intensive, 19 new hires. I'm like, so 70% of you is a lot of this room has some things to process and some things to let go of. So whatever your pacing is to build trust, we're going to be very patient with you and understand that you might not have had a great experience beforehand, but it can take quite a while to trust it. Then you have this whole thing of actually understanding it. And we tell people 3-5 years. So anyway, we mentioned that before. So I want to go to Sarah to start. So this is the big question, the big open question. The hope in asking this is that it helps. It's fun to hear your experience, but it also, you could be teachers to an extent where you can help other employee owners frame around this big concept of what ownership means to them. So for Sarah, what does ownership mean to you?
I think I said it in the beginning that it's not just about finding my personal moments of inspiration, but it's how I personally impact my fellow owners. That's what it means to me. Because I know every day, like, you know, kind of what Dave said, what I do in my desk could impact Dave, Tim, Rihanna, everybody.
That's great. Tim, what does ownership mean to you? Thanks, Sarah.
I would build on what Sarah said and kind of go back to what I said in the beginning of giving myself, you know, a sense of pride, a sense of accountability, and a sense of collaboration. Really gives you a foundation of and a sense of purpose in your work.
That's great. Foundation and purpose. Those are very alluring to people looking for a new path. That's great. Dave, what does ownership mean to you?
I'd say responsibility, you know, not only to myself, but to others.
That's great. Thank you for this, all of you, for sharing that. So what I want to do is, coming up for you, so you know what to expect, I wanted to have you try to limit your description of ownership to 3 words today. What are the 3 words you would use to describe ownership? And then I'm going to ask you about your EO aha moment if you've had one. So Tim, we'll go back to you to start and then go to Dave. If you had to describe ownership in only three words, what three words would you use and why?
I would go with accountability, collaboration, and empowerment.
I like that.
Awesome.
And I would say those three because, but across the three, it really gives you a sense of responsibility, as Dave said, to everyone else throughout the company. And you can collaborate within to hopefully drive the ship forward.
That's great. Thank you. Yeah. Dave, what three words today would you use to describe employee ownership?
Responsibility, opportunity, and collaboration.
Do you want to add any commentary?
No, I think, you know, responsibility, as I said a second ago, is responsibility to yourself and to others and to the company as a whole. Opportunity to make an impact, a real impact, again, not only for yourself, but for others. And collaboration, I think, is pretty self-explanatory that it is all about collaboration.
Yeah, it's good on day one to gently warn people to get ready for shared decision making. Get ready for lots of voices that you may or may not be used to in the decision process, especially for some of our senior leaders that come in and aren't used to a machine operator coming up and asking about the P&L or something like that. So
yeah.
Sarah, what are your three words today for describing ownership?
Yeah, so hard being the last one not to use the three that they've used, but I had actually accountability, of course, partnership and collaboration were the three that I had written down when you are so. Yeah, and I think that, you know, of course, the accountability, we all kind of had that, you know, that same tone. But the partnership is, you know, I get to maybe partner with folks differently now than I look at it differently now than before we were in ESOP, in the sense that I want to understand maybe what they do a little bit better and how it impacts me and the rest of us than before. I think it was, I'm just going to stay in my lane and do my thing. So
yeah, it's hard to stay in one's lane when you care deeply about the customer, you care deeply about your coworkers and supporting and resources. So I appreciate the three words from each of you and the insight. So we ask all of our guests to share their EO aha moment. Brett Keesley on his podcast, he generally starts with this. I enjoy adding it towards the end of our conversation. So the EO aha moment is not the first time you heard about employee ownership or when you started to like it. It's that moment where you said, oh, aha, this is going to be a game changer. So if you've had that moment and are game to share it, Dave, I'll start with you. Have you had an EOAH moment that you are willing to share?
Sure. No, I think mine was when fully understanding that I can build equity in a company and get the reward without the risk associated with starting a company, right? I mean, I'm not going out and mortgaging the house and putting education at risk and taking that huge risk that so many, you know, successful people have. I mean, they've had to. I think sometimes you look at people and like, oh, they're an overnight success. That must have been nice. You know, but when you really dig into it, they really put themselves on the line at some point in one shape or form. And here with an ESOP, you don't have to do that. There's no fear associated with an ESOP other than the responsibility of helping to build the company forward. But there is no angst or late nights thinking, what have I done? How am I going to pay this bill or note? So to me, that was the real, like, this is fantastic.
That's great. Now I can put you on the spot a little bit. Do you remember how far into your 5-year ownership experience that moment came to you, that insight?
That came before, as we were privy to like this happening and doing a little bit of, yeah.
Right away, it got you.
Right away, I understood it. To what extent it will be, you know, no, but just like, yeah. this is equity without the risk.
The hashtag worker equity is increasing in its use. It's hope to see it explode. That's great. Thanks for sharing the insight.
Sure.
Sarah, did you have an EO aha moment? And if so, would you share it?
I don't know if this is going to be, you know, unpopular or not, but I don't think I have yet. I don't know what that, you know, I don't know for me what I'm looking for in that aha moment, but I don't know that I have felt it yet.
And I think it's awesome you answered the question. It's highly original in the world today when somebody asks you a question to actually answer it This is very refreshing to have you answer it that in that regard. That's why I'm trying to ask it, you know, respectfully, that you might not have had that moment. But if you did, you know, what's some insight or, you know, anything that you're sharing personal experience, you're sharing personal opinion. So
I will say, I think it's important. That's a great question. And I actually started it to and wrote it down because asking that of my fellow employee owners, like hearing Dave and maybe hearing Tim's, like that may be important to how, you know, what I envision mine to be or something. I just don't know.
Yeah. I hope that you can find some informal forums or create environments where you can get each other telling those stories because it could provide an insight. Like I've seen a few mini aha moments within the team's video of you hearing from each other. So I hope you're able to continue that after today. It's been a lot of fun to watch and learn from. Tim, have you had an EO aha moment?
Good question, Jesse. I think, well, I guess I have a unique perspective on this because I joined after they had converted to the ESOP, not long after. And when I joined, I was still in my mid-20s. So hearing that it was an ESOP and not really knowing what that term meant, and then working there for the 3 years trying to vest myself. And then finally, you know, you get vested and you get your first certificate of shares was really my aha moment. And I was like, wow, this is real. And, you know, you just go down the rabbit hole of what it could be and Google what the ESOP could be long term. And that was really when it hit me that it was a really powerful tool.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I've mentioned this before and I've talked about it at conferences. I think it's an interesting time in history for employee ownership that has momentum, but it really is a long term game. When we do our onboarding, I say, you know, informally and talking to lots of other companies, it tends to be sort of the 7-year smile. 6, 7, 8 years, people start to really get the potential. But that can be a very long time if the average tenure, and I should have looked it up before our conversation, but the last time I looked it up was 4.2 years. So you're talking to people to go to almost twice the average job tenure. And then depending on their age and their background, you know, if I'm 25, Tim, why are you talking to me about a retirement plan? I just got here and you're talking about me being old and leaving. Like, so there's some, but I think there's an extra factor now that we should all be mindful of. It's hard for people to see long-term, understandably, at least that's talking to lots of people. That's, you know, how am I going to fill my oil tank this fall? You know, the environmental things, the politics and everything. So it's a very interesting time because it's going to remain an enduring, it has huge potential to impact the success of our country if more of this, you know, silver tsunami sells their companies to folks like you, to the workers there, like you experienced. But it's an interesting one because I think it's just naturally and understandably hard right now for people to jump onto the 30-year plan. It's hard to see that way. So it'll be interesting to see how the messaging, and, you know, you were saying it, each of you said it about, you know, worker equity, wealth building, that can bring it in a little bit. But it is an interesting time with that. So I appreciate your sharing that and your moments. So I want to give you the mic from each of you. You can raise your hand to who wants to go first, but I want to do this to amplify ownership, but I also want to do this to help your company. So you have an open mic to talk about why you like to work at ProSearch, why others should join you working at ProSearch, why other customers should hire you. So I want to give you that opportunity to amplify a really cool employee-owned company. So who wants to take the mic and run with it first?
Ladies first, Jess. Ladies first.
Sarah, you've been nominated. Tim, do you second Dave's motion? All right, Sarah, you go first.
Gosh, after 19 years with ProSearch, the why I started was, you know, I had no idea moving to Maine that I would continue to be in IT recruiting. I had no idea coming home there were still an industry up here. There was an industry up here for me to continue that course. And then I met Ed, and the amount of compassion that he showed and the amount of flexibility. I was a new mom. I had a husband that, you know, I still have the same that worked for, you know, worked a ton of hours. And at the time I said to Ed, I only wanted 3 days. And he's like, well, then only give me 3 days. And that's the culture. He listens. I think everyone in ProSearch strives to listen to each other. And when trying to make that culture and grow our culture as new voices come in is why I stay to learn what it's going to become even more. than what it's been for the past 19 years.
That's great. Thank you. So Tim, do you want to go next, or since Dave nominated, he has to do it?
I'm going to volunteer Dave.
My why was that ProSearch was actually a client of mine for 15 years in a totally different industry. So I got to know Ed pretty well through that, and the relationship became more client friend, you know, than just client. And we talked about it over the years. I balked a couple times. He probably balked a couple times, and then the timing was right. But why I did it was because I knew how ProSearch went about their business through helping them with their marketing and really learning. So it was a big leap, but it was an easy one for me. And we're, as far as we're all given the autonomy to go out and do your thing, you know. But I would say the one guiding rule is, don't do anything that would tarnish the reputation that we've built up so hard. And it's a reputation of being flexible, doing what's right by our clients and our candidates, not one mm-hmm. side or the other. We, in this world, is increasingly hard to do, but we did a lot of business on a handshake in the past. You know, we still do with some longstanding clients, but of course now there are MSAs and legal ease. But I think that's a testament to our success and where we're going to continue to go.
Well said.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Well done.
Tim, you want to round us out?
Sure. My why for me, when I relocated from Massachusetts to come to Maine, and I came from a big corporate machine, is the way I like to refer to it. And when I came to ProSearch, it really gave me a sense of, obviously, ownership, but a sense of family. You know, you're close with everybody in the office. Everybody knows details about other people's lives. And as Dave said, we're given the autonomy to really do what we think is best for the company and for ourselves. So that was really moving to me, and really is what sealed the deal for me to come to ProSearch.
That's great. I appreciate it. Appreciate it. And it's been a lot of fun to get this time with you today, meet the three of you, and try to help our listeners hear your stories, but also amplify the great ESOP, the great company that ProSearch is. So we're going to close out this episode. I want to thank our guests, Tim, Sarah, and Dave from ProSearch. If you're looking for some help and you like what you heard, please reach out to them and enjoy the recruiting through the lens of passionate, committed owners. There's nothing like it. So thanks for the listeners. Again, this is Jesse Tyler for the Owner to Owner podcast on the EO Podcast Network. This very enjoyable experience amplifying ownership grew out of a friendship with Brett Kiesling, who's been doing this for a long time. And I always like to close with thank you to ProSearch. And for all listeners, if you can hire, I'm going to adjust it for ProSearch, hire employee-owned, buy employee-owned, eat employee-owned, and work employee-owned. It's good for our future. It's okay to have a really good day at work and know that your wealth is growing and you're spending time with people you care about and moving your company forward. So thanks to the listeners. Thanks to ProSearch. Really appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thank you, Jesse.
Thanks, Jesse. Have a great day.
Take care.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook at EO Podcast Network and on Twitter at ESOP Podcast. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McKenna.